Chapter 2. Red Marked. Gladius Class Cruiser Dark Sacrament. The cruiser Dark Sacrament was burning. It listed painfully in the void, gas and particulate spewing from its vast arteries like blood. Maritime sailors, those of the deep oceans of old Earth, from the age when Terra still had natural seas, had often likened their great seafaring vessels to beasts. They invested them with spirit to imbue the wood and steel of their construction with will and presence. In times of dire need, during a storm, or when imperiled by some leviathan of the deeps, these mariners would call upon that spirit to rescue them, beseech it to deliver their crews from death one last time. To those able to observe its demise, the Dark Sacrament appeared very much like a beast, but in its death throes it was impotent to save those aboard, no matter how desperately they pleaded. Scars riddled the ancient carapace of its armored flanks, and entire plates of adamantium flaked away like shed scales. Exposed beneath it, a vulnerable layer of flesh, flared with ephemeral fires that died almost as soon as they were born, hungrily devouring the scant oxygen that remained inside the ruptured ship. Upon the beast's back, the immense cathedrals along its spine had collapsed and fragmented, releasing chunks of iconoclastic statuary into the starless depths of space, where they drifted without anchor. The deep wound that scored the ventral hull had been the decisive blow, destroying most of its engineering in a single precise strike. The ship's open belly had bled flash-frozen corpses into the void moments after it was sundered. Some of the dead wore the crimson battleplate of traitors. Their bodies were riddled with lasburns, too. They drifted still, forgotten amongst the other debris. Its shields had failed next, another surgically executed strike intended to weaken and cripple, not kill. Along the lateral aspect, starboard side, a cluster of deep impacts had cored through the flaking armor plate. A Cestus assault ram had reached a terminus at the end of each one, clinging doggedly to the Dark Sacrament's brutalized flank. Despite the destruction wrought against it, the vital cuts debilitating the cruiser, it was here, in the comparatively diminutive boarding craft, that the mortal blow fell. Deadly cargo, ultramarines of the Red Marked, had been harbored within, and their minds were bent on vengeance. Invelio ran the length of the ventral access corridor, keeping one eye on the rad counter glowing on his left helmet lens. He was headed towards the ship's aft, lower decks where the warp engines were situated. Nivius! Breathing hard, Invelio reached the first transverse junction of the corridor. They needed to push ahead, advance quickly and violently before reinforcements could be mustered. But beyond the junction, the ship's illumination and vital support systems had failed. Gravity lingered tenuously, negating the need for maglock to the deck underfoot, but visibility was poor. Invelio had already lost Drusus to one of Angron's butchers lurking in the shadows. He had no desire to lose another, and would even risk his commander's ire at this abrupt lack of urgency. Nivius arrived seconds after being summoned, a bioscanner in his hand, seeking potential threats. Like the rest of the legionaries in his squad, he wore a stripe of red paint down his faceplate, perpendicular to his armored shoulders.
Reading four hostile contacts, muttered Nivius in the deep baritone of Ajax.
Invelio hailed from Konor, but adopted no airs or graces with his Ajaxian brother. War and the pragmatic tutelage of the commander had seen to that. The brutal assault on Ultramar had leveled all hierarchies and preconceptions of nobility. Solidarity had come in its wake,
a desire in all Ultramarians, transhuman and otherwise, to stand together and take back what had once been theirs. Officially, the war was won in Ultramar after the 500 worlds had suffered at the hands of the 17th and 12th legions before Gilliman and the 13th had managed to turn back the tide. But these legionaries knew different. They knew that beyond the immediate auspices of Macragg and the Aegis the presence of the Primus worlds provided, Imperium Secundus still suffered. Nodding to Nivius, Invelio tapped the comm bead embedded in his gorget. Leagus, take vanguard position. Nivius and I will flank. Brachius, hold rearguard. A string of rapid affirmatives flashed as icons across Invelio's retinal feed, and they were ready to proceed. Leagus came up from behind, hefting a snub-nosed grav gun which he kept at waist height.
Easy does it, brother,
whispered Invelio, earning a curt nod of acknowledgement from Leagus as he led the three Ultramarines forwards.
We don't know precisely what's out there.
More than once during the recent patrols, they had raided vessels crewed by unburdened. Demon hunting had become close to second nature to the 13th now, but that didn't make these creatures any less dangerous. The rules of engagement had changed, and either the sons of Gilliman would adapt or they would die. Invelio was determined it would be the former rather than the latter. In this instance, caution was less a luxury and more an imperative. Their first warning came a quarter of the way down the corridor in a broad maintenance section articulated in the flash of arterial red against Leagus's armor. The legionary reacted fast, swiveling to trigger a burst of hyperdense gravity from his weapon. Part of the corridor's superstructure bent and split as if being crushed. One of the murderous 12th, caught in the gravity field, took the hit too, and his plastron and left pauldron buckled inwards. It didn't stop him hurling his chain axe, which spun end over end before embedding itself in Leagus's upper right torso. The other renegades, lying in wait, echoed the roar spat through Leagus's vox grill, only their cries were murderous, not agonized. Three warriors clad in legionary plate came at the Ultramarines' strike team. Two wore the grubby, battle-tarnished white and blue of the World Eaters. The other hailed from the 17th, but was no ordinary word-bearer. Hunchbacked, its grotesque musculature throbbed inside battle plate, straining to contain it. A helm, alloyed with a demonic visage to the point at which determining where one ended and the other began was impossible. It needed no bolter or blade, the unnatural attributes of claw and fang more than adequate to its needs. Leagus summed up the damned creature succinctly, declaring, "Abomination!" Despite the chain axe lodged in his chest, the legionary had enough cogency remaining to aim his second shot at the unburdened, but it shrugged off the graviton burst as though it were a mere irritation, and sprang off its cloven hooves at the Ultramarine. Invelio had only fought an unburdened once before. During that encounter, the sergeant had been leading them, and he had taken the beast apart with the blade of an energized longsword. Old foes, old weapons. Invelio remembered the lesson as he watched poor Leagus split from crown to groin, his armor parting sinister and dexter like parchment. Brachius was coming to reinforce him, but with the rest of his brothers engaging their own targets, Invelio was alone when he faced the monster that had just carved up Leagus. He drew his gladius. With one press of the activation stud in the hilt, he ignited the power field that crackled along its edge and faced down the unburdened. Via the retinal display in his helmet, Invelio saw Brachius split the skull of the 12th Legion warrior wounded by the grav gun. Nivius fired off snapshots with his bolt pistol at the 2nd World Eater's legionary, but drew his power sword once at close quarters. Invelio's sight then shrank myopically as the unburdened shouldered Leagus's steaming corpse aside and found the ultramarine standing defiantly. No words would do justice, so Invelio cried out wrathfully as he thrust his blade at the beast. It was like striking the adamantium hull plates of a storm bird, and the blow resonated painfully back down the blade, jarring his shoulder. The unburdened's riposte was savage, a backhand that lifted Invelio off his feet and had him hurrying to roll away as a second overhand blow cleaved into the deck where he had been lying. He had barely got to his feet when the beast swung again, a slicing transverse like a sword cut that Invelio had to parry with the flat of his gladius or be bisected. Metal shrieked against metal as his booted feet skidded against the deck, throwing up friction sparks. It was tough to get moving. He needed to be faster, but the slowly diminishing gravity from the vessel's dying life support systems dragged on his limbs with the growing presence of inertia. A blur of motion flashed on Invelio's right, and through a hazing visual feed he saw Brachius slam an axe head into the unburdened's flank. It bellowed so loud it stunned Invelio's audio feed and briefly overloaded the dampeners built into his helm. Recognizing this chance to claim a much-needed advantage, Invelio aimed a thrust up at the beast's neck. As he wrenched the blade free, a fount of dark fluid spurted out with it. Even through his rebreather, the stench was vile, but the howl of agony from the unburdened was even more disconcerting. It wasn't the deep and guttural bellow of a wounded beast. It was the shrill shouts of tortured innocents, the dying cries of infants and their mothers. It was the death scream of Ultramarians, butchered in the thousands during the invasion. Brachius lashed out again, severing wrist from arm. About to turn, the unburdened jerked spasmodically before the crackling point of Nivius's sword emerged through its chest from its back. The corridor stank of sudden putrefaction as old blood burnt and cauterized. Invelio knew they could not relent. Already the unburdened's wounds were knitting together as the demonic passenger, wearing the skin of its willing legionary host, drew on the power of the warp. As the beast fell to one knee, Invelio cleaved down with his blade, piercing armor and striking clavicle bone before he began to carve. Brachius hacked, wrenched his axe head loose, then hacked again as if felling an Iaxian harrowing tree. Icarus blood flecked his armor, hissing as the mild acid scorched paint and pitted the battle plate. Holding his sword two-handed in a downward grip, Nivius emerged from the other side of the unburdened, stabbing unceasingly with metronomic regularity. In a few more seconds, it was over, and the dismembered remains of the unburdened lay sloughed at the ultramarine's feet. As the entity bled back into the hell realm that had spawned it, the host shrank and withered until nothing but a miasma of gore and chunks of sundered plate and bone was left of it. Invelio gestured to Nivius. "Tell me we are clear, brother." Sheathing his sword, Nivius checked the handheld scanner and nodded. "Clear." Once through the ventral corridor, they would reach the warp engines. Even without Drusus and Leagus, they would have enough charges between them to inflict critical damage on the ship. A catastrophic explosion would result. Nevertheless, Invelio instructed Brachius to gather their fallen brother's incendiaries. He wished there was enough time to speak some appropriate words over Leagus's corpse. They had survived the first battle of Kalth together, bled in the subterranean arcologies that were even now being contested. To die in the confines of some thrice-cursed starship did not seem fitting, nor did the fact Leagus's gene seed would remain unharvested.
"Is that the last of them, do you think?"
asked Nivius, even though his Auspex threw up only negative returns with every fresh scan. Invelio slammed his gauntlet against the side of his helm, encouraging the comms to come back online. It worked, and he was about to answer Nivius when the Voxlink crackled loudly in his ear.
"Status, brother."
It was the sergeant. It never failed to surprise Invelio the versatility in that voice, which could so easily be turned to command or good-natured bonhomie. Not unlike the warrior himself, who was as adaptable an ultramarine as Invelio had ever known or had the privilege to serve with. It was part of the reason why he had left Kalth, and how he had come to be amongst the Red Marked.
"Closing on objective now. Casualties? 2, Drusus and Leagus." The sergeant swore under his breath.
There was a momentary pause before he replied,
"Munitions deck is cleansed and secured. Charge is set. We await your word, brother. Give it quickly, though. Another ship has appeared on Augury."
"We go to intercept?"
"With all haste."
He cut the link. Brachius returned with Leagus's charges and held them out to the others.
"Enough to take down 3 cruisers,"
he remarked. Invelio nodded, silently applauding Brachius's aggression.
"No need for overkill. We only need to take down 1.